Good morning, everyone. I'm glad to be here with you this morning once again to turn our attention to spiritual things, to consider those things which will lead us all to inherit eternal life. Before I launch into the bulk of what I have to say this morning, though, I'd like to start talking about our upcoming teen weekend. This is a little early, actually, but I'm not going to be in the pulpit on Sunday morning for a while for various reasons, so I want to start talking about that now. The brother that we're going to be having in is named Josh Collier. He's a very good friend of mine, and I'm the one who suggested that he come. And so for those of you who are teenagers or parents of teenagers or friends of teenagers, this is somebody who I know will do a wonderful job of connecting with these children that you care about. Because Josh's background is that for years, he taught English and then later ran the counseling department for an organization called Job Corps. And if y'all know anything about Job Corps, what they do is they offer a chance for teens who have been expelled or dropped out of school to complete their GEDs. So this is somebody who excelled at connecting with really low motivated teenagers and getting them to where they needed to be. So this is somebody whom I am confident will be useful to the young people in your life as well. I suspect it's true that just about every gospel preacher on the planet, and that includes both Sean and me, just about every gospel preacher on the planet is going to encourage daily, regular Bible reading. In fact, I think that most Christians even would agree that regularly reading the Bible is something that is good for us, that has tremendous spiritual benefit. And yet, even though these things are so, I also believe that most Christians, including the ones in this room, I believe that most Christians have not completed a Bible reading program. That most of us have not managed to make it through the entirety of a program in the course of a year. Now, if this is true of us because we've never tried, because we're indifferent to reading the Scripture, well, that's a problem. But I don't believe that most of us are in that position. Instead, I think that this is something that most of us want to do, even those of us who haven't done it. We would like to be able to reach December 31st and look back and say, yes, I read my Bible regularly all the way through this year. But the thing is, even though it seems simple, sticking to that program is actually pretty hard. It's not something that I myself managed to do until 2013, at which point I had been a gospel preacher for nearly 10 years. So if you find yourself in the position where this is something you want to do, it's something that you would like to do, it's something that you're trying to do, but you haven't been able to get over the hump, then you have my sympathies. And what I would like to do this morning, then, is to talk about some of the things that I have learned from my experience of regular Bible reading since 2013, to see what we can learn from that about ways that all of us can step up in reading our Bibles in this year, 2019. The first thing that I think we need to think about is choosing the right Bible. I don't know that this is something that most Christians would naturally appreciate. I think that to most brethren, Bibles are essentially a parody product. That one Bible is just as good for any purpose as any other Bible. That's not true. And it's especially not true when it comes to choosing a Bible for reading. Let me give you an example. Back home, I have a Bible that if any Bible is awful, this Bible is awful. It has this purple, really loud cover. It's King James, so it's harder to understand. And worst of all, it is printed on what feels like copier paper, and the print is about that big. yes, it is the Bible. Yes, it contains all 66 books from Genesis all the way through Revelation. But I will tell you this, that if you could read that whole thing cover to cover, then you must have the patience of Job. So then, when we think about Bibles like that, I think it becomes apparent to most of us that the Bible that we choose to read out of can make a great deal of difference. And furthermore, it's my opinion that many Christians fail in their Bible reading resolutions because they are not reading out of a Bible that is right for them. A lot of the time, we just try to use whatever Bible we happen to have on hand to do our readings out of, even if it is not a Bible that was intended for reading, that we did not buy for the purpose of reading it. I think also that for most of us, trying to go through a year of Bible reading on our phones is something that is not going to prove very successful. Because let's be real, brethren. When we've got that phone in our hands, it is awfully easy for that daily Bible reading to turn into a daily Facebook reading. And that doesn't help a whole lot. It's too easy for us to get distracted. Instead, my recommendation is this, that if we're in that place where we want to read the Bible regularly, but we can't get over that hump, then one of the things that we need to do is to try to find a Bible that is right for us, that has the characteristics that we need in a Bible for reading. And the best way that I know to do this is to go to a Lifeway or some other Bible bookstore, maybe a bookstore that just happens to have a lot of Bibles in it, and go through and physically compare the Bibles to one another to figure out what one is going to be the best reader for us. And by this, I don't mean just walk down the aisle and look for the Bible with the prettiest box. That's not how you tell. Instead, the way that you tell whether a Bible is good for reading is to actually pick up the Bible and take off the shrink wrap, if it's in shrink wrap, pull it out of that box, and stand there in the aisle of Books a Million or Lifeway or whatever, and spend a few minutes reading a few pages. And just go down the line. Grab any Bible that catches your fancy and try this with it. In particular, if you're looking for translations, probably the three best translations out there for reading right now are New King James, English Standard, and Christian Standard. And the reason why I say that is not only because those are solid translations for reading, but because they also have good support from publishers. So they're published in good Bibles that are good for reading. So sample around in all of those. And then after you've looked at a couple dozen, after you've read from a couple dozen, then what you need to do is just pick the Bible you love and buy it. Then take it home and use that Bible to try to make it through that Bible reading program. As you're evaluating, think about things like, is the print in this Bible big enough that I can read it comfortably without squinting? Ask, do I like the way the Bible feels in my hand? Is it too heavy? Does it have all of these reference helps and study notes and things in it that distract me from reading? And if we ask ourselves questions like these, then we can find a Bible that is right for us. And no matter what we end up paying for that special reading Bible, I guarantee you that the experience of reading out of the Bible for a whole year is worth a lot more. Second, it is important for us to understand what the purpose of reading is. And this, too, I think, is something that we can take for granted without appreciating some of the unique qualities that Bible reading has. And to illustrate this, I want to look at a couple of passages with you from the book of Acts. Look at Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 27, first of all. Acts 8, and there we'll read 27 through 31. And there was and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now let's flip over to Acts chapter 17, and there we'll look at verse 11. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Both of these stories are about people interacting with the Word of God. But even though that is true, the interaction in these passages with the Word of God is different. And it is different because reading and study are not the same thing. Let's start by looking at the example of the Bereans in Acts 17. There, this scripture tells us that these were people who were basically fact-checking what Paul was telling them about Jesus. They heard him preach, and then they would get together every day. And rather than reading the scriptures to see if these things were so, the Bible tells us that what they did is they examined the scriptures in order to tell whether these things were so. And the point is, friends, that the Bereans weren't reading the Bible together. They were studying the Bible together. And as a result, their activity had the characteristics that are true of study. They were very focused. They were answering a particular question. And also, they were very intense about it because there was something that they had to figure out, because if they didn't do the best job that they could, then they would end up being wrong about Jesus. So the Bereans were studying the Bible. But when we look at the eunuch in Acts 8, he's not studying. The scripture tells us plainly that he is just going along in the chariot, reading from the prophet Isaiah. He's not doing this for any particular reason. As far as we can tell from the text, why he's doing this is just that the trip from Jerusalem back to Ethiopia is long, and so he's doing this to kill time. What's more, it's obvious that he's not really trying that hard to figure anything out. It's clear from his conversation with Philip that he doesn't understand what he is reading. He's reading it, but he doesn't get it. And if Philip hadn't shown up, then he would have gone on not understanding even as he was reading. So what we see here then is that rather than studying the Bible, rather than looking at it intensely, rather than looking at it to answer a particular question, the eunuch is just reading. Reading and study, then, are not the same thing. But I think that a problem that a lot of brethren have is they don't appreciate this difference between reading and study. And so, as a result, they end up treating Bible reading like Bible study. You know, these are the folks who have their Bible reading plans with all this underlining and these different colors of pencils and all that sort of thing. And there's certainly nothing wrong with really delving into a text and trying to figure out everything that the text has to say. There's nothing wrong with Bible study, obviously. But the problem is that Bible study, because it is so intense, it takes a lot out of us. And most people who set out trying to study their way through the Bible in a year, they are, whether they realize it or not, they're engaged on something that is going to demand a whole lot from them. And in practice, what that leads to is they've got this Bible that on December 31st is 10% marked up, and 90% on red. So rather than trying to treat Bible reading like Bible study, I think it will help all of us if we treat Bible reading like Bible reading. And here's what I mean by this. Bible reading isn't about trying to outline the text. It's not about trying to figure out every last little question in what we've read. Instead, Bible reading is a lot more passive than that. Basically, as you're reading, you're just listening to what God has to say. That's it. And if there's something that you don't understand, make a mental note of that, move on. And what you get out of your day's reading is what you get out of your day's reading. Now, obviously, this is going to leave a lot of questions in that reading unanswered. But it's not a very demanding approach to the text. And that means that if we're reading instead of studying, that we're much more likely to actually be able to get through the whole program in a year because we're not asking quite so much of ourselves. So, if you want to try studying your way through the Bible reading program in a year, you know, that's not a bad thing. But be aware that that's a very demanding thing. And that just simply reading, just sitting down with the Bible for 5 or 10 minutes and seeing what it has to say, that's something that we're much more likely to succeed in on a regular basis. Finally, I think it is important if we want to succeed in this for us to read regularly. Consider the spirit of the psalmist in Psalm 119 and verse 20. Psalm 119 and verse 20. He says simply, "My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times." The psalmist here is not somebody who wants to engage with the law of God on a yearly basis. He's not somebody who even only wants to see the word of God in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Instead, his soul is consumed with longing for the word at all times. He wants to make the Bible a regular, daily part of his life. Deep down inside, I think that this is what most or all of us want to. We look at this picture and we say, this is appealing. I want to be a Christian like this. I want to be a follower of God like this. And if that's not true, honestly, that you have some problems that are beyond the scope of this sermon to fix. So that's where we are. We fundamentally want to be in the Word like the psalmist here. But the thing is that real life intervenes. We have a stressful few days at work. Maybe one of the kids gets sick. Maybe there's some kind of health crisis in our own lives, something else that gets us out of our routine. And then we're 2 months out and we look back and we realize, I haven't done anything with my Bible for 2 months but bring it to church. And at that point, I think we are all tempted just to shrug our shoulders and say, well, I guess I messed that up again. I'll try again in 2020. And that's understandable. I know that life is hard. But it's also not where we should want to be. And so it's important for us then to think about some ways that we can make reading the Bible regularly easier for all of us. This has to start, I think, with timing. Just like Sean was talking a couple weeks ago about how if we want to incorporate prayer regularly into our lives, we need to have special times set aside for it. The same thing holds true for Bible reading. For instance, I myself am a morning person. I know that if I want to integrate, ingrain some new habit in my life, that is something that I need to start trying to do early in the morning. Once I've got it down to a routine, I can move it later into the day. But if I want to make that habit, it has to happen just as soon as I wake up. And maybe that's true for you too. Maybe you are a morning person, and so the first thing that you need to do when you pop out of bed in the morning is you need to pray and you need to read the Bible. Maybe you're not a morning person, and this would work better at lunch, that you just make a practice of keeping your reading Bible at your desk at work, and then on your lunch break, you open it and you read. Because, you know, I think that pizza grease spots on your Bible, I think those are honorable. Maybe you're a night person, and it feels most natural to you after the kids are in bed and everybody else in your household is in bed. You just sit quietly there by yourself with a mug of herbal tea and you read. I think all of us know on some instinctive level which one of these things is true about us. And whenever the right time for you to read is, that's when you should try to read. Also, it can be helpful for us to use various behavioral cues, various reminders, as we are trying to make Bible reading habitual in our lives. And there are a lot of different ways that we could do this. For instance, when I first started, the way that I did that was I set up an automatic email notification. So first thing in the morning, when I got on the computer for the first time, there would be the reminder, you're supposed to read these passages of Scripture today. Since then, I have moved, I guess, kind of back in time. And so what I have is I have a couple paper checklists. And so I look at those regularly in my office at the church building. And every time I do the day's reading, then I check it off. It may even be true, if none of those things quite work for us, that what we need to start doing is when we go to bed at night, we need to take our reading Bibles in our hands and we need to put them on top of the smartphone, on top of the TV remote. And then the next morning when we wake up, oh, I want to turn on Good Morning America. Or, oh, I want to check my messages on my phone and see what's happened overnight. Well, guess what? You have to do your Bible reading first. And those are just a few little behavioral tricks that we might attempt to use. I'm sure if you look online, or even if you just think for a little bit, then you might be able to figure out some others. And these things, they seem so minor and silly. But the reality is that they can make a big difference in whether we are in the Word at all times or not. This has been a sermon in some ways that is more concerned with what than with why. We don't just read the Bible just because. Instead, regular Bible reading is something that is important for us because of the message of the Bible. Because just as Peter said about Jesus in John 6, that Jesus had the words of eternal life, so too the Bible has the words of eternal life. And if we want to go to heaven, then it is only the Bible that can tell us how to get there. So if you are here this morning and you are wondering whether you are headed toward that eternal reward, then I ask you, what does the Word of God say about your behavior? Have you done the things that the Bible says we have to do in order to become a disciple of Jesus? Are you living in the way that the Bible says a disciple of Jesus ought to live? If you're wondering about the first, what the Scriptures say, and I'd be happy to sit down and study these things with you if you're in doubt, they tell us that in order to be saved from our sins, in order to become a disciple of Jesus, we must believe that He is the Son of God, we must repent of our sins, we must confess Him before men as our Lord, and we must be baptized, we must be immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins. If you are a Christian, but you know that you haven't been walking in a righteous way, then you also need to repent and return. And because you are a Christian, that's something that you have the right to do through prayer. So if we can help you with either one of these things this morning, we would be delighted to do so. obey the message of the Word of God. Come now, while we stand and while we sing.